All right, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And that's still the case today. You run the gamut from a good man to a great prophet to a good teacher to a good example to the leader of the church, the one who established the religion, one of the great religions of the world. That's, you hear a lot of that today. And so, who is this man, Jesus Christ? Who is he? I hope before we leave here this morning, we'll know who he is. Because that's the most important thing you'll ever know on the face of this earth. You need to know who he is. Who he is. In verse number 14, some say that you're John the Baptist. So he's come back from the dead, is John. Or some say that you're Elias. Elijah the prophet, I'll send before the great and terrible day of the Lord. Or some even say that you're Jeremiah. Jeremiah the prophet. Or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Now here's the question. Who do you say that he is? Now why did he ask them that question? Why would he bother to ask them to begin with? Because it is the most important thing you'll ever know. There's an awful lot of people you work with every day of the week. They believe in God. They talk about God. Most of the time they use his name in vain. They believe in the man upstairs, the supreme being, and all that. You hear that stuff all the time, you know. And then you hear them today saying, "God bless America." And I want God to bless America. But the only one that can bless America is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But in verse number 16, Simon Peter spoke up, and here's his answer. He said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, the Lord answered Simon Peter and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon son of Jonas, for flesh and blood hath not revealed that to you, but my Father which is in heaven." Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's not a Son of God, and he's not a way. He is the way, the Son of God. So who is this man? Well, in the book of John, chapter number 1 and verse 41, he first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. He's the Messiah. World War II prepared the Jew for the Holy Land. And the turn of the century, a brilliant Jewish chemist named Chaim Weizmann invented cordite gunpowder and synthesized it. Because he did that, England was able to win a war. If they hadn't had his services, England very well could have lost the war. Because of that, they turned to Chaim Weizmann and said to him, "What can we do for you now that you have allowed us to win this war?" He said, "I want a homeland for my people." So the Balfour Declaration established a homeland for the Jewish people. But because of Arab pressure, because of England's wanting to spread its empire on into the oil-rich field for the Arab nations, they reneged on that and brought out what's called the White Paper. And from the moment that England brought out the White Paper, they have begun to go down in size and power and influence in the world. What's the White Paper? It is their turning their back on Israel. They turned their back on the Jews. And you can look at the date and you can check it out and you'll see from that very moment England began to descend down to where they are today. And so for God to get the Jewish people prepared for the Messiah, he must prepare them first for their land. And that's what he did. By the thousands, they went back to the land of Israel. That's their land. It's always been their land. It was the land grant given to Abraham in Genesis 15. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it is their land. And so they went back to the land of Israel, and there in May the 14th, 1948, the United Nations, the first country to recognize Israel as a nation, was our President Harry Truman. 11 minutes after they established themselves as a nation, 11 minutes later, Harry Truman says, "The government of the United States of America recognizes Israel as a sovereign nation." Amen. And so, my friend, World War II prepared Israel for their land. The coming carnage that's around the corner, the coming tribulation period that's called the time of Jacob's trouble, will prepare the Jew for his Messiah. He will prepare the Jew for the coming of the Messiah. And so this man said 2,000 years ago, he said, thou art the Messias. That's the Greek for Messiah. The anointed one of God. Is he the Messiah of Israel? Yes, he is, in every sense of the word. Have they acknowledged him and owned him as the Messiah of Israel? No, they haven't. They've rejected him, and they've turned from him, and they've turned to idols in the sense that they've everything under the sun has become a Messiah to them. In 132 A.D., Bar Kokhba rose up and claimed to be the Messiah, and he led Israel against Hadrian. And Hadrian crucified thousands and tens of thousands of Jews because of that. They've had all kinds of false messiahs. They're looking for peace. The greatest thing that you'll hear any Jewish rabbi talk about today is peace, peace, peace. They say, we want peace, we want peace, we want peace. And the world wants peace. And yet you know the guns are blazing right now. And you know, my friend, that we are on the brink of a world war. And yet men want peace. There is no peace, and there will be no peace until the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And Jesus Christ is not coming back until he gets the Jew ready to receive him. And it's called the time of Jacob's trouble. And for 7 long years, Israel is going to endure untold hardship and untold unbelievable persecution. And he said, except those days to be shortened, no flesh should be left alive. And so, my friend, he is the Messiah of Israel. And they're going to look upon him whom they pierced. And they're going to mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son. But my friend, thank God, thank God, thank God. They're going to accept their Messiah. They're going to accept him. And Jesus Christ is the Messiah of Israel. The word Messiah means the anointed of God. He's the deliverer. He's the Savior. He's the one who reveals himself to Israel and sets them free. Make no mistake about it. When that Saudi Arabian prince handed $10 million out of his billions, oil-rich billions, no more than 100 years ago, nothing but a pile of sand. Now they've got all that oil and he's rich from it. And he's a billionaire twice over, 3 times, 10 times. He's the 6th or 7th richest man in the world. And to the mayor of New York, he handed a $10 million check and he said, the United States needs to revise its policy toward Israel. I think of this now. 7,000 people are dead in New York City. 7,000 people have died at the hands of Muslim murderers. And this man hands him a check of $10 million, which is a pittance of what he has, and says to him, the United States needs to revise its policy toward Israel. He said, I will make Jerusalem a stumbling stone. The President of the United States of America said the other day that we are considering a Palestinian homeland, a state for Palestine, a Palestinian state. And so, my friend, Israel never fired the first shot. Israel hasn't killed anybody. Israel hasn't gassed anybody. Israel hasn't struck anybody's towers. Israel didn't kill 7,000 people. And yet Israel is the one that's going to have to pay the debt. Their Messiah is coming back. And every country that aligns itself with Israel, God aligns itself with that country. If that country turns its back on Israel, God turns its back on them. Make no mistake about it today. If you stand for Israel, God will stand with you. If you refuse to stand for them, then dig your grave. Because that's where you're headed. The United States of America is a hell hole from sea to shining sea. But it's still my country. And I'm an American. And I was born and raised here. And I'll fight for that flag any day. But the moral condition of this country, we've killed 30 million children. This is a land of sodomites, homosexuals, lesbians, and perverts. It is a godless place on the face of this earth. And those Arabs over there come and say, we're going to destroy you pigs because you're nothing but filthy pigs. And they consider Americans nothing but roach, bugs, and swine, and they're going to kill us. And so where do we stand, preacher? We've been blessed of God. That flag represents freedom. God's been good to our country. Stand for that flag. Salute that flag. Pray for your president. If you're a treasonous devil, get out of this country and leave this country. If you can't stand for America and support America, pack your bags and go. For we're going into a war. But I'm not blind. I'm not fighting for a pure, holy country. I'm fighting for the freedoms that God gave me in this country. And you should be feel the same way about it. America, my friend, has got its problems. But it's still better than anything on the face of this earth. But it's not the answer. The answer is the coming of the Messiah. He's got to come back.
Amen.
So my friend, in John chapter number 1 and verse number 1, we read this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Who is this man? He is the Creator. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha, but Jesus Christ is the Creator. My friend, I want to tell you something. Make no mistake about it. I want to tell you now before it happens. 6 months from now, there'll be 99% of the Americans in this country will not want to even look at a Muslim when you see what they do to you. Right now, they're embracing their religion. They're praying with them. All the ecumenicism is wild and hot, and it's because it's new to them, and they're believing the lie that's been pumped out. But mark my words. Islam, go read history. It has spread its religion ever since Muhammad showed up with a sword. Look at Afghanistan. If that's not a hell hole, I don't know what is. To take a woman and cover her up like that, she can't even bathe, she can't work, she can't go outside her place, lest she's completely covered up. They treat her like a dog. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob didn't tell them to treat her like a dog. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob gave you ladies the freedom that you've got in here today, where you're treated with respect. You're treated like a human being. You're treated the way you should be treated. The virgin daughter of Zion, where God gave liberty to a woman. But the Muslim world is not like that. Saudi Arabia, if you take the condition of the women there, they're just about as bad as it is in Afghanistan. In practically every Muslim country, the world is in bad, bad shape indeed. The Creator is the Lord Jesus Christ. He made everything there is. He made everything there is. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians 8:6, but unto us there is one God, the Father of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And 1 Corinthians 1:17, and by Him all things consist. He's the Creator. Therefore, my friend, He has an eye for beauty. He made a man so that he could enjoy that beauty. That's what I'm here for. That's why you're here. We can go out and we can say, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful world you've made. Thank you for the beauty that you put around us. No dog, no cat, no squirrel, no rat, no creature on this earth can enjoy the beauty of God like the man that He made to enjoy it. And yet He gave me enough sense to know that there is a pale of a curse. There is a curse falling down upon all the creation. Everything about me that looks beautiful is paling in significance to the beauty that God originally made before the curse came upon this world. Not only that, who is this Jesus Christ? In Colossians 1:15, the Bible said, who is the image of the invisible God? The firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. I live because He lives. You're here because He lives. Our heart beats because He lives. Everything is held together by the word of His power. Mankind wants a counselor. He wants an advisor. He wants a partner. He does not want one who upholds every breath that He breathes. The Lord Jesus Christ is the sustainer of the universe. He sustains everything, including your future, your children, your health, your job, your life, everything that means anything. He sustains it by His power. Not only that, but the Bible said in Psalm chapter number 45 and verse 6, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. Jesus Christ is God. He's not a God. He's God. Jesus Christ is not one of the gods. He's God. He's God Almighty. In Isaiah 9:6, the Bible says that He's the mighty God. In Jeremiah chapter number 23 and verse number 6, it says, in His days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is His name whereby He shall be called, the Lord, our righteousness. That word Lord is Jehovah. He's Jehovah. And Jehovah is the Lord God. The Lord Jesus Christ is God. And the new Bible's taken, 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. And the new Bibles take God out of there. That's the church today. The church has ripped Jesus Christ, His deity, from the Scripture and kicked Him out of the church. And so what's God going to do with America? What's He going to do with us? Right after those bombs fell there in New York, some preacher stood up and said God was judging America. What they don't understand is that it's not so much that God has to actively do anything to you. All He's got to do is to begin to withdraw from us. And there is enough evil around us to destroy us. He that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. He that withholdeth. The reason that I've enjoyed 55 years of freedom in a good country, in the sense that I've been an American, in the land of the free and the home of the brave, is because that restraining power of God has been holding back the force of hell. The force of hell was turned loose on us September the 11th. And my friend, it's being turned loose on us every day. And more is on the way. He that letteth will let till he be taken out of the way. We've had every kind of a movement under the sun in our country except a revival. Except a revival. Except men and women really getting down on their knees and beginning to pray. We need revival.
Amen. Amen.
Our church is slipping into the deadness. That's all about us. And we need revival. We need to have some cottage prayer meetings again. And get on our face and pray for Almighty God. And what few that are left that God's going to convict, we need to witness to them and testify to them. For the hour is short. We don't have much time left. Jesus Christ is God. He's not only that, but in Acts chapter number 4 and verse 12, the Bible said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Again, the Bible says in John 14 verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. In 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Then in 1 John 5:11-12, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's only one way, friend. There's only one Savior. There's only one way to glory. There's only one name whereby you can be saved. There's only one blood atonement. There's only one Savior. And His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. The church today is going to make a decision whether to embrace the popular religion of the day or to go back to the Word of the living God. I believe that that decision will determine your eternity, whether in heaven or in hell. He will present Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. He is going to purge His bride before He takes her out of this world. That's all right with me. That's fine with me. That doesn't bother me one bit. Tom Brokaw the other day got a letter, and it was addressed to him, and somebody in his office opened the letter. She worked for him. She helped him. She was infected with anthrax. But it was not lost on Tom Brokaw that some Arab murderer out there wanted to kill him. It was not lost on this big newsman, rich millionaire, that somebody wanted to kill him. Tony Blair was told the other day, they said to Tony Blair, they said, did you know that they put a death warrant on your head and they're going to kill you? They're going to come after you. Did you know that the word out is now that they're going after President Bush and they're going to go after his father
and they're going to go after other people around him. Why are they going after these men? Why are they going after the Prime Minister of Great Britain, the President of the United States, a man on NBC that gives out the news? Why are they going after these people? It's because they're trying to strike terror into the hearts of the American people. But did you know what Tony Blair said? I got to respect him for it. He said it comes with the territory. I thought to myself, as a man's got courage. He said it comes with the territory. He said, I'm not afraid. I'm not going to run and hide somewhere. Oh, he sure has a normal amount of fear. That's rational to be afraid. But he said, I'm not going to slipper under some little rock like some little scared to death thing. I want to ask you a question. How many preachers do you hear standing up in the pulpit and opening up the Word of the Living God? And there's nothing great about me. No, there's nothing great about me. I fear just like anybody else. I'm not trying to get myself killed, but I've got a call on my soul. I've got to preach the Word of God. If I don't preach it, I go get me a job. I've got a reason for living. The reason I'm alive right now is because God wants me to preach His Word. And I don't know how many people have said to me, preacher, you better be careful. They said to me, preacher, you better be careful preaching the way you are. You're going to make somebody mad. If you preach the way you are, why, they're going to make a target out of you. I thought to myself, the Prime Minister of Great Britain says it comes with the territory. I don't see the President of the United States crawling under a rock either. I don't see his daddy crawling under a rock either. I see more courage, amen. I see more courage coming out of the President, and I see more courage coming out of a Prime Minister than I do the preachers. Could it be, bless your soul, could it be, God bless your soul, that right here before we leave this world, God exposes the clergy for what they really are. A bunch of miserable, yellow-bellied devils that aren't worth a powder and lead to blow them to hell. Amen. 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 Could it be that this bunch of little lily-livered, back-patting, ear-tickling crowd that's gone on and made their living for years out of the church, lived off of religion, got no spine, no backbone, no guts, and no courage. You know what the church needs? It needs somebody it can trust. It needs somebody it can have a little trust and faith in. It needs somebody to stand up and preach the truth of the Word of God. But folks, let me tell you something. It's not about me. It's not about me. When we send literature out of here and you read that newspaper, you've never seen my picture in there the first time. I know we're on television. I can't help them seeing my face on TV. But when we print literature and we send books out and we send this and that, my picture is not on there. Why? It's not about me. It's not about me. I'm not trying to promote my cause and push my cause. I'm trying to show you something. I'm trying to show you that the church is in its last gasp. It's going down. It's going under. And the preachers are scared to death to say anything about it. Now, there may be a lot of men out there that I'm not even aware of who are faithfully standing up preaching this thing and talking about it and telling people what Muslims are. But I'm going to tell you something right now. There's an awful lot of them out there that have no courage whatsoever to stand up and say anything for the Lord. I don't want to follow somebody like that. Well, if a man's got any more faith than that, I can't think about listening to what he's got to say. This is what I'm talking about, purging the church. Some of you are going to get mad and leave. You'll get mad and you'll leave. Well, listen, folks, you won't be the first one to get mad and leave. I've preached like this ever since I've been here. I made a covenant with God, and I said, Lord God, you just let me preach what you want me to preach. You give me the message to preach, and I'll let you worry about who comes and who doesn't come. It's not like I'm telling you to leave. We want you to stay. It hurts me when people leave the church. It bothers me when people leave the church. You build a relationship with somebody, and you pour your heart and your soul into them, and you give these people your life. You give them your life. And then they just get up and walk off and act like you're just a piece of meat or you're a machine. I'm not a piece of meat and I'm not a machine. It does hurt. It bothers. But I'm going to tell you something right now. It won't stop me from preaching the Word of the Living God. So He'll purge His church. And His purging may start in the pulpit. The first thing He may purge out of the church is these miserable creeps standing in the pulpit calling themselves men of God. Then He'll go out in the congregation. This year, a year from now, Temple Baptist Church may only have 100 members. We may only have 100 members, but they'll be finer and purer and closer and better with the Lord than they are now. They will be, because I've learned Him. I've seen His hand. I know how He works. And He always, when He purifies, He refines and purifies and refines. Folks, listen. I'm not stupid. Do you know that in 99% of the churches in this town, they'd already walked out?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If I'd been preaching.
Amen.
And do you know they would never listen to what I've got that long?
Exactly.
I go preach at other places. We had a good revival up there in Morristown, Jefferson City the other day. Good preacher, good church, good people. Accepted the Word of God, accepted the preaching.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. They just took it right in. Hallelujah. We had good meetings. Had a young man saved on Monday night. Had a good service. Praise God. Man, I've been a lot of places where when I started preaching, they turned me off. They just want to get up and walk out. I look at their faces. I see the faces. I see them all the time. I know what happens. I see what's down in the soul. So what's it about? It's not about my job. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about preaching the truth of the Word of God to you. I'm trying to tell you that the Muslim's going to hell. I'm trying to tell you there's only one Savior, and that's Jesus. I'm trying to tell you that the church in America is a whore. I'm trying to tell you that the vast majority of the people that go to churches care about one thing and one thing only, their flesh. That's what I'm saying. You say, that's rough, that's strong, that's hard, that's tough. But it's the truth. It's the truth. It's the truth. And whether people take it or not, they know it's the truth. And the truth will set you free. It'll set you free.
Amen.
The truth will do it.
Amen.
It'll set you free.
Yes.
And a lot of people, they know the truth and they hear the truth and they shout with the truth, but it gets too hard for them after a while.
Oh.
And they just can't handle it, so they ease out the back door. But they know it's the truth.
Yes, sir.
And they go out and they say, well, they do preach the truth down there. And this and that and so forth and so on.
Amen.
Listen, folks. Jesus Christ is God.
Yes.
Is he God enough to me to where I could die?
Yes.
Like this fellow flew into a tower. And his God was Allah. He flew right into a ball of fire right there. Gave his life and died going in there. That took something, friend. That took something. Not before they were out with whores, though. That's right. Trying to get whores, drinking liquor. That's right. That's what they were doing the night before. That's what they were doing the night before. Their last night on earth, they figured, well, you know. But you know something? My last night on earth, I hope's on my knees before God. My last night on earth, I hope, is before this Savior that I preach to this morning. If He's not real to me, He won't be real to you. If this book is not real to me, it won't be real to you. If I don't have conviction in what I preach to you, you'll have no convictions in what I say to you. There's got to be some conviction here. And what I'm saying to you is that He's the Savior. He's the only one. And then finally, He's the King. Matthew chapter number 2 and verse 2, it says, where He is born, where is He that is born? King of the Jews. For we've seen His star in the east and are come to worship Him. In Matthew 27, it says, and Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, thou sayest. Yeah, you said it.
Amen.
Revelation 11:15, the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. The kingdoms of the world. I know a lot of people right now are real torn. They don't hate to give up all this stuff here. If they think the Lord's really coming. Amen. You know, I read a thing yesterday that said that Americans are the best givers in the world to the churches. They give. They give. They really give. Even though America is shot full of hypocrisy and fornication and all the rest of it, they're the best givers in the world. They give so many millions and millions and millions of dollars a year into the church. But did you know something? Only 6% of it goes to missions. Only 6%. Where's the rest of it go? It goes to buildings. It goes to stuff. It goes to things. Only 6% of it goes over there to try to win these Muslims to the Lord Jesus. The rest of it stays right here in the country. That's sad there. You see, they're kingdom builders. They're kingdom builders. I hope the only thing I leave behind is a greasy spot.
Amen. Yes. Amen, preacher. Yes, sir.
Amen. Used up and gone.
Yes.
Finished.
Amen.
What you going to leave behind, preacher? I hope and pray with all of my soul. The only thing I'll leave behind for the Antichrist is a pile of ashes.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. I hope the only thing I leave for him is a problem. Burn all the bridges behind me.
Yes.
Nothing left for him he can use.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God for what he's given us. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This thing right here won't do one thing for my soul.
Amen.
It won't do one thing for my soul.
Amen.
We had a revival this past week in a trailer.
Amen.
A trailer.
Amen.
I've never preached in such a confined space in my life. You talk about preaching to people 5 feet from you.
Amen.
Man, I mean, it gets close there. I'm telling you, man. You get up there and you start letting loose and haul off and start preaching, they hear you. You don't need a PA system in there. A trailer. Why, a lot of preachers wouldn't have docked the door going into a trailer like that. Why, that wasn't big enough. Why, just a handful of people, a little old church up there in Jefferson City, going to have 10 or 12 members. But I never asked him how many he had. He volunteered that. I never asked him one time. Don't care. All I care is that they love the truth of the Word of God. And I had one of the best meetings I've been in a long time Monday night. And we had about 50 people, 40, however many you could stuff in that little old thing. We had a house full. It wasn't a big house, but it was a full house.
Amen.
But you see, the trailer didn't mean anything.
Exactly right.
That wasn't the issue. The issue was the Lord was there.
Yes.
Is the Lord there? Well, he's finally showed up here.
Amen.
Amen.
No,
really?
Amen.
What if they come now? What if it all goes right now?
Yeah.
Hallelujah! What if it's over in the next 5 minutes? Is there anything outside you need to run to? I told my wife the other day, I asked the Lord for one thing. He may not grant it, but I asked him for this one thing. The only thing I care about. One thing. Lord, if I go, if this is it, if we're vaporized or something happens to us, or something happens, I want to be with my sweetheart when I leave.
That's good, man. That's good.
That's my one request. That's my one request. That's all I care. I'm not worried about going. Not the least bit. But I would like to be with her. How many of you men feel the same way? You'd like to be with your sweetheart? Take her by the hand. Go ahead. Take her by the hand. Tell her you love her. I love you. You know it. Oh, yeah. You come after my family, you'll find a sword in my hand. You come after them, I'll be locked and loaded.
Yes.
You come after them, I'll have my windage and my elevation. I'll have my dope.
Come on, preacher.
That's right.
Amen.
Raghead, whatever they call them. You come after them, old boy. You come in the name of Allah. I come in the name of the Lord God,
yes.
Jehovah.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
There's enough in here for me to fight and die for in a heartbeat.
Yes, sir.
You better believe it. In a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. You better believe it. I'd fight and die to the death in a heartbeat for what's in this building right now. I got two grandbabies in here and I got my sweetheart right there. You think I wouldn't fight to the death over that? Amen. This is serious business this morning. Who is Jesus? Who is he, folks? Who is he to you? He's the most precious one to my soul. Amen. He may not grant me that request. I may die out here somewhere, something happen. I'll be out here with a bunch of people I don't even know.
Yes.
But she'll know where my heart is. She'll know where my heart is.
Yes, sir.
She'll know where my heart is. She knows I love her. She knows I love her. You better hold on to your loved ones now. Because this 7,000 families got broke up in a moment there. September the 11th. 7,000 families. I mean directly. And then indirectly, 35, 40, 100,000 families that know the people. Directly, indirectly related to them. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for breaking through in here this morning. And thank you for the good spirit that came into this place. And thank you, Heavenly Father. And I know, Lord, that the people are worried about what's going on. I know there's so much news today. And I know, Heavenly Father, people are worried. And I know that. And I understand that. And I know, Heavenly Father, today people are sometimes depressed because of this. And it gets them down, Lord. And I understand that, too. But our Heavenly Father, you tell us when this stuff starts happening to look up, for our redemption draweth nigh. And Lord, I'm looking up, Heavenly Father. I'm not looking at this old world. There's nothing here. I'm looking up. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Come. Come, Lord Jesus. In thy holy, sweet name I pray this morning. For Jesus' sake I ask it. And amen. Let's stand up, brother. What do we got here?
Page 1, all hail the power of Jesus'
That's
name.
That's good. All hail the power of Jesus' name.